Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sunsounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you news of interest to our veterans community here in the state of Arizona. Today we have news from the news.va.gov website, as well as our military news websites such as military.com, militarytimes.com, and stripes.com. And additionally, time permitting, we'll have an item from one of our Veterans Service Organization's publications. So today, let's begin with the stripes.com website, which is the official website of the Stars and Stripes newspaper. Our first article from Stars and Stripes, two House bills aim to streamline veterans' appeals for disability claims. This is by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes from the 19th of April, Washington. A pair of bills that aim to ease the lengthy appeals process for disability claims with the Department of Veterans Affairs would keep the same judge on cases, track delays on pending claims, and immediately notify veterans about missing or incomplete forms holding up their review. The Veterans Appeals Options Expansion Act and the Veterans Appeals Efficiency Act offer technical changes to shorten the appeals process for denied claims and decrease backlogs on benefits decisions that topped 320,000 in March, according to the sponsors of the bills. Representative Mike Bost, Republican of Illinois, who is chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, is leading both bills, which overhaul the appeals claims process for decisions involving disability compensation and benefits. Describing the appeals process as outdated and decaying, Representative Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, is a co-sponsor of both bills. She said the intent is to end cumbersome requirements and provide much-needed reforms for efficiencies in the process. Simplifying appeals for veterans is a focus for the lawmakers as the number of claims for benefits processed exceeded 1 million in March. But the VA rejects about 40% of claims filed each year, with many veterans moving to appeal. That was the case for Navy veteran Billy Wide, 71, who said he wasn't informed an appeal that he filed this year for disability benefits related to central nervous system vasculitis will not be heard for 3 to 7 years. It's a rare disease that only 2 people in 1 million get, said Wide, who served in Vietnam for 9 months until March 1973. Wide, a former petty officer third class, filed an original claim in November 2022 for disability compensation related to Agent Orange exposure from his military service. But his claim was kicked back to his regional VA office in Cleveland as incomplete. Wide then filed a supplemental claim that was rejected in January. The claim is on appeal. Other crew members on my ship have been granted disability for Agent Orange exposure, but they got cancer. The Agent Orange affected me differently, he said, referring to his diagnosis of vasculitis, which is an autoimmune disease that attacks the blood vessels. Wide said his disease was diagnosed from a brain biopsy. Medical claims for disability are getting more complex, which slows down the process and leads to more delays, according to the VA. There has been a 200% increase in the last 10 years in claims containing 8 or more medical conditions for which the filer is seeking a disability rating and benefits. The VA will alert filers when their claims are incomplete or if wrong information was provided, which can lead to a denial. But the notifications sometimes do not arrive for months after the claim was filed. The Veterans Appeals Options Expansion Act would provide veterans with more choices to control how and when their appeal claims are processed by the VA, Board of Veterans Appeals, Bost said. Under current rules, veterans must choose whether to have a full hearing before an appeals board judge or request an administrative decision from the VA, which often takes less time. The bill would give veterans flexibility to change how they want their appeal processed once an initial filing is made. It would also require the VA to backdate approval for compensation for cases that had required additional information from the veteran for a review and a decision. The bill would require the VA to update Congress regularly on the average length of time that a claim is pending after a dissent from the appeals board back to a regional VA office for a second review. The Veterans Benefits Administration averages 18 months to review appeals and render a decision on some parts or all of a case, according to the VA. A veteran also may take a case to the appeals board, but the process can take 5 to 7 years because of backlogs, according to the VA. The Veteran Appeals Efficiency Act would enable the appeals board to aggregate cases that involve similar questions of law or fact. Contributing to the backlog are a high number of disabilities claimed in individual filings. The number has doubled in the last 5 years, according to the VA, with post-9/11 veterans from conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan making up nearly half of the inventory, the VA said. The complexity of the case, availability of medical and service records, and the number of pending claims also affect the decision time. The legislation would authorize the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims to certify class actions to include veterans with claims for which no final decision has been issued. The VA also would be required to give veterans reasons in a timely manner when a claim is deferred or placed on an internal administrative hold because of problems with the filing or incomplete information. The legislation also would enable a claimant to get a timely explanation for a deferred or suspended claim where action is delayed. Right now, the VA makes a mistake, and you can't hold them accountable, White said. That's two House bills aimed to streamline veterans' appeals for disability claims. Our next article is by Linda F. Hershey as well, from the 17th of April. VA halts taking away gun rights from veterans who require help managing their benefits, but only for 6 months. Washington. A new ban that has stopped the Department of Veterans Affairs from taking away the gun rights of veterans who are found to be incapable of managing their own financial affairs will expire in 6 months, VA officials said. VA in March ended its weekly practice of submitting the names of veterans appointed fiduciaries to handle their VA disability benefits to the FBI's National Background Check database. The database contains information on people prohibited from buying or receiving firearms. Inclusion in the database legally disqualifies veterans from owning, possessing, or buying firearms from licensed dealers. The VA Veterans Benefits Administration, which disperses monthly benefit payments to veterans, has been required by federal law upon the VA's appointment of a fiduciary to manage a veteran's benefits to submit the veteran's name to the FBI's National Instant Background Check System, or NICS, as ineligible to own or possess firearms, according to the agency. The new temporary provision does not overturn current law, but essentially blocks VA from adding the names of veterans-appointed fiduciaries to the FBI Prohibited Persons Database in the NICS system, said Aidan Johnston, Director of Federal Affairs with the Gun Owners of America, a nonprofit lobbying organization with 2 million members. Terrence Hayes, the VA press secretary, said the provision restricts the VA from using appropriated funds to make reports to the NICS system without a court order or ruling. The provision had bipartisan support, including from Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman John Tester, Democrat of Montana, who for several years sought to overturn the practice by the Veterans Benefits Administration to notify the NICS system of veterans-appointed fiduciaries. Tester said he knew of veterans who refused to apply for or collect VA benefits because they were worried about losing their gun rights. He said the law has punished people who receive VA benefits but need help managing their money. The new legislation does not amend the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act, which authorizes the VA to report the names of incompetent beneficiaries to the FBI database that gun dealers check before selling firearms. Passage of the Brady Act in 1993 led to the establishment of the National Background Check System for firearm licensees. Since 1998, the VA has reported veterans appointed fiduciaries to the NICS database. But the new policy, while temporary, means only those veterans declared by a court or magistrate as mentally incompetent and an imminent danger to themselves or others will be reported to the NICS system and legally lose their right to buy, possess, or own a firearm. Navy veteran Abraham Conrique, an 82-year-old part-time cab driver in Maryland, said he understands there are situations when a veteran should not have access to a gun, given his own personal history of service-related mental health problems. I never had a court hearing over my mental health, but I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't have firearms with my level of PTSD. Some veterans need those restrictions, said Conrique, who referred to his own diagnosis in 2020 for post-traumatic stress disorder. But only a judge should have the power to make that decision, said Conrique, a petty officer second class during the Vietnam War, with deployments in Vietnam and Japan. The policy was adopted as an amendment to the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2024, signed into law last month. But it has an expiration date of September the 30th, which is the end of fiscal 2024, said Kathleen McCarthy, Communications Director for the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. I will note that we are working on a permanent solution to this issue, she said. Anything that's included in an appropriations bill is only authorized for that fiscal year, so next year the policy would need to be included in the appropriations bill for the following fiscal year, and so on. The temporary provision is also limited in scope. It does not restore gun rights to veterans-appointed fiduciaries prior to March 2024. The Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled Veterans, American Veterans, and American Legion have expressed support for legislation to end permanently the VA practice of submitting the names of veterans to the FBI's database. Patrick Murray, the VFW's National Legislative Director, said at a hearing last month of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees that a VA administrator should not be the person who removes the constitutional right to gun ownership. That is for a judge or magistrate to decide. And that's VA halts taking away gun rights from veterans who require help managing their benefits, but only for 6 months. Turning now to military.com for this item, toxic exposure screenings, vets report spotty follow-up on questionnaire meant to boost health care and benefits. This is by Rebecca Keel of military.com from the 24th of April. This story is part of a series of investigative reporting projects by military.com on service member and veteran health and was supported by the Pulitzer Center. Confusing, lackluster, generic, a little bit of a letdown. Those are some of the ways veterans are describing toxic exposure screenings they've gotten at the Department of Veterans Affairs Health Centers, screenings that were designed as a tool to get more vets help after medical evidence accumulated that service had made many sick. Rolled out with great fanfare in November 2022, toxic exposure screenings for all VA patients were mandated by the PACT Act, the sweeping law passed in August of that year that expanded benefits and health care for millions of veterans exposed to environmental hazards during their military service. Through December, and the first year screenings were available, the VA recorded conducting a little less than 5.1 million screenings, according to data obtained by military.com through a public records request. That number had risen to about 5.3 million as of the end of March, according to the VA's public PACT Act dashboard. Whether these screenings are driving a wave of veterans to get better medical care and benefits is unclear, as vets themselves are painting a mixed picture of the process and experts question whether the screenings are asking the right questions. Millions of veterans of the post-9/11 wars were exposed to massive trash fires known as burn pits, with many since developing breathing and heart issues as well as debilitating and fatal cancers such as glioblastoma, contaminated water at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, chemical warfare such as using Agent Orange during the Vietnam War, and radiation from working near nuclear weapons have also sickened scores of veterans through the years. Military.com spoke to a dozen veterans and family members about their experiences with the screenings. Some credited the questionnaire with leading to their doctors conducting more thorough medical exams, but others say it appeared to be a check-the-box exercise that had no apparent effects on their health care or benefits. They didn't do the connecting step, I think is the biggest thing, said Jeffrey Threats, an Army veteran whose deployments included Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, and Jordan. The connecting step of saying, okay, now here's how you file a claim if you think you have these things. Threats had a toxic exposure screening in January after scheduling a special appointment for one. A doctor asked him where he deployed and what his suspected exposures were, then handed him a pamphlet with background information on the PACT Act, he said. He'd already filed a disability benefits claim prior to his screening, but he expressed concern for other veterans who may need more guidance on how to file a claim. Because you do have veterans who walk in there, they give the survey, and then they walk out and they continue on with their life, Threats said. Several veterans who spoke to Military.com said they hadn't gotten the follow-up they'd asked for or that the response was lacking. Military.com solicited feedback on the screenings from its readers, and of 76 people who said they asked for follow-up information, 56 said they did not get it. In response to the public records request from Military.com, the VA said it isn't systematically tracking any follow-up resulting from the screenings to see whether veterans are getting additional help. When the agency started the screenings, VA officials promised the three-part questionnaire would help enhance benefits for veterans who are already in the system. Lawmakers who wrote the PACT Act touted the screenings as a way to bolster VA resources. Of the patients who were screened as of December, about 2.2 million veterans reported at least one potential exposure. The top issue cited was burn pits, as mentioned by just over 1 million veterans, followed by Agent Orange at 708,315 veterans, according to data obtained by Military.com. Veterans are allowed to name more than one potential exposure. About one-third of veterans who reported concerns didn't ask for any follow-up information, according to the data. Of those who did want follow-up services, being connected with the Veterans Benefits Administration, or the VBA, was the most popular choice, with 807,490 veterans requesting that. Roughly 600,000 veterans asked for information about the Airborne Hazards and Open Burn Pit Registry, and a little less than that wanted to be connected with a veterans service organization. Meanwhile, 155,464 veterans asked to be contacted by a toxic exposure screening navigator. The navigators oversee implementation of the screenings, conduct the screenings when they're done outside of a primary care appointment, and serve as veterans' point of contact when they have follow-up questions or concerns. But the Veterans Health Administration has no way of tracking whether veterans got the follow-up they asked for, according to the agency's response to Military.com's records request. The VHA is working with the VBA to improve the communication between the two agencies and establish a process to relay important information from the screenings that could help the benefits claims process, the VHA said in its response. Asked for commitment on the veterans who were disappointed in the screenings or said they hadn't gotten the follow-up information they requested, VA spokesperson Terrence Hayes told Military.com that veterans with concerns should contact their care team to check on the status of their follow-up, or if they feel their care team is unresponsive, the patient advocate at their local VA facility. We will make sure that they get the care they deserve, Hayes said in an emailed statement. The experience of these screenings varies based on the individual veteran and their circumstances, but our goal is to provide a toxic exposure screening to every veteran we see, and if exposure is reported, to follow up with additional testing. These screenings serve as a resource to provide veterans with the exposure-informed care they deserve. Our three questions are right answer. The screenings were one of the first high-profile actions the VA took after the passage of the PACT Act, a law that's been described as the biggest expansion of veterans' benefits in a generation, and the volume of screenings done has become a frequently cited data point for VA officials arguing that the PACT Act has been successful. The law mandated the screenings be done at least once every 5 years for every veteran enrolled in VA healthcare, but did not require any specific questions or tests, beyond stipulating that the screening should at a minimum ask about potential exposure to burn pits and about exposures to other toxins commonly associated with military service. The law also didn't mandate any follow-up services after the screenings, but said the VA should provide print materials and outline related resources available to veterans. The screenings entail three questions. Do you believe you were exposed to toxins during your military service? What do you think you were exposed to? And do you want any follow-up support? The screening was developed by the VA's Director of Primary Care Operations, according to a September 2022 regulatory filing by the department. The answers to the questions are being added to the patient's medical records to support longitudinal care so that physicians can be more alert for symptoms from health problems that may arise later, the VA said in background information included in Hayes' email. Research does not support lab tests or specialty referrals based solely on exposure. So, for most veterans, there will not be testing completed simply as a result of an endorsed exposure, the email said. Victoria Cassano, a doctor with expertise in occupational and environmental medicine, who previously served as the VA's Director of Radiation and Physical Exposures, expressed doubt the screenings could provide much useful information, calling the questionnaire vague. A better screening, she argued, would be for the VA to collect full occupational histories from patients that discuss in detail every job they had in the military. Most people, even in the military, don't know what they're exposed to, said Cassano, a Navy veteran. And so asking those three questions really doesn't help at all, especially when most of the doctors they're talking to don't understand what the exposures are in a given military occupational specialty or a given environment. Cassano agreed that further medical testing wouldn't be warranted after a screening unless a patient has symptoms. Ideally, she said, the screening should be used to establish a medical surveillance plan to be able to catch subtle signs of the development of a disease. The pamphlets handed to patients after the screening include basic information on types of exposures, web addresses, and phone numbers to schedule doctor appointments or file a benefits claim, and a summary of health registries for different types of exposures, according to copies posted on the VA's website and provided to military.com by a caregiver of a veteran who was screened. Joe Moss, an Army veteran exposed to toxins when he was stationed at the now-defunct Fort McClellan, went to get a screening at a PACT Act outreach event in March at a VA clinic in Orlando, Florida. There, he discovered his medical record showed he'd already been screened. Turned out the questions he was asked by a VA emergency room doctor when he was having a heart attack months earlier counted as his screening, he said. The doctor asked me if I'd ever been exposed to anything, and I said, yeah. I thought that was part of their protocol for diagnosing a heart attack, he said. The missing link. The connection or lack thereof between the screening and getting other benefits was one of the top issues cited by veterans who spoke to military.com. Tasha Carnahan, an Army veteran who served in Iraq and suffers from chronic sinusitis and rhinitis, said She went into her screening thinking it would help her disability benefits claim, only for the doctor to tell her the screening was just for the VA to collect data. You see, everything that says about the PACT Act and benefits for veterans that have been exposed to toxic exposures, but when you actually go there, they just say, "Thank you for letting us know. It's going to be annotated." And that's it, she said, adding that her primary care doctor has also made no reference to the screening since she's had it. Walter Kenna, a Marine Corps veteran who briefly served at Camp Lejeune, said that in addition to the pamphlet he was given at his screening, he got a letter in the mail explaining how to file a claim for disability benefits. The letter said it was sent because he had reported a toxic exposure at his screening, Kenna added. But he said he felt the letter wasn't relevant to him because he hasn't been diagnosed with one of the conditions presumed to be connected with service at Camp Lejeune. Others, though, describe more positive outcomes from their screenings. One Navy veteran who asked for anonymity to discuss his health issues said he had to prod the nurse at his annual exam to give him a screening, which he found out the department was doing only because he spotted a brochure about the PACT Act during a previous VA visit. But after he told the nurse he was concerned he'd been exposed to asbestos, she relayed that information to his doctor, and the doctor immediately ordered a CT scan, which revealed scarring in his lungs, the veteran said. He's also been contacted by a toxic exposure screening navigator since that appointment, he said. Despite believing the VA could do a better job of informing veterans about the screenings, he said he thinks his outcome shows the screenings are an outstanding idea. To make the screenings more useful, there should be better coordination between VHA and VBA so that any information gleaned by the questionnaire could help with benefits claims, said Cassano, who now runs a consulting firm that works with veterans advocates on disability claims. I think that questionnaire is helpful to an extent, she said, but I don't think it's enough. That's toxic exposure screenings. Vets report spotty follow-up on questionnaire meant to boost health care and benefits. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org. Next, we have an article from a publication of one of our veteran service organizations, the Military Officers Association of America, and their magazine, Military Officer. This item is entitled Recruiting Gen Z, Ultra-Connected, Harder to Reach Than Ever, Gen Z is Rewriting Military Recruiting Playbooks. This is by Hope Hodge-Seck. The 12 to 27-year-old digital natives who make up Generation Z have likely never owned a Rolodex or a landline telephone. They're highly individualistic, suspicious of institutions, and fearful about their own future in a changing world. Surrounded by fewer military veterans than previous generations, they're less likely to be familiar with the realities of military life or motivated to pursue service for themselves. Only 9% of the generation reports being interested in donning a uniform. Even those who are interested in service have a slimmer chance of being eligible than prior generations. A 2022 survey showed 77% of today's young people wouldn't qualify to serve due to factors such as body composition, past drug use, or mental or physical health issues. Yet, despite an unprecedented array of challenges, military recruiters know the future success of the uniformed services depends on their ability to bring Generation Z into the ranks. To that end, they're transforming outreach efforts, taking to new recruiting platforms, and expanding the parameters of what it takes to enter the military. Increasingly, they're also asking the broader military community for help with the critical mission of showing highly networked but hard-to-reach generation what service could mean for them. Explaining the intangibles. When Navy Master Chief Petty Officer Gerald Alchin took his first recruiting post in Cleveland in 2002, recruiters were under pressure to shore up the all-volunteer force for combat in the wake of the September 11, 2001 attacks. But back then, he said, the military's package of pay and benefits was a more enticing prospect for young people. Today, as a National Chief Recruiter of the Navy, Alchin said, competitive offers from private entry-level employers such as Target and Starbucks mean recruiters must stress the intangible benefits of service that set the military apart. More than the prospect of free college through the GI Bill, Alchin said, recruiters must emphasize how the Navy will make recruits a better version of themselves and give them a role as a member of a team. In the Navy, he added, sailors are building skills and qualifications that will put them in reach of long-term dreams in or out of the uniform. Recruiters emphasize, Alchin said, that young people don't have to surrender their individuality or all of the things they love to do when they choose service, a specific concern of Gen Z. You're still going to be yourself in the Navy. You're just going to become a better version of yourself, Alchin said. You can still have a life outside the military, having a family, having pets, being able to go through college, all those different things. Helping those on the margin. The Navy is also one of multiple services re-evaluating entry-level qualifications to make sure it's not excluding young people with potential to succeed in uniform. In recent months, the service has dropped its requirement of a high school diploma or GED for enlistment, a change, Alchin said, that will keep a small number of exceptional candidates from being barred at the door, and expanded waivers to forgive past marijuana use even up to entering boot camp. The Army in late 2023 announced it was making permanent its Future Soldier Preparatory Course, a 90-day intensive program at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, intended to whip would-be recruits who didn't pass initial fitness or academic standards into eligibility shape. And the Air Force last October expanded the age limit for Air Force and Space Force recruits, raising the maximum age from 39 to 42, following the lead of the Navy, which raised its max to 41. Officials told military officer the goal was to acknowledge the realities of a changing population and find ways to adapt. It's meeting an applicant where they're at, said Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Upperman, commander of the U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion, Southern California. The Army has created opportunities that otherwise didn't exist for individuals to mature, progress along certain requirements so that they can access into the Army, specifically when it comes to physical fitness. Raised age limits help those older than Gen Z find their way into service, but as Air Force Master Sergeant Joshua Cherry learned, it's spreading the message of military opportunities in unexpected ways. Cherry, 319th Recruiting Squadron Europe Operations Recruiting Program Manager out of Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, said he recently had been able to ship out a new recruit days before his 40th birthday. That recruit, Cherry said, referred another one of his friends to join. That friend just left for basic training, so it's like a family business. Same message, new mediums. When the COVID-19 pandemic forced recruiters out of high schools, many intensified efforts to connect with young people virtually through video chats, special apps, or social media platforms. And as society reopened, some recruiters have found success continuing to engage with the ultra-connected Gen Z through virtual hubs. Instagram is a huge platform, said Command Sergeant Major Michael Carter, the senior enlisted advisor for U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion, Southern California. Not only can we post stories of soldiers who've gone through the process, but that's also how we can communicate with the most people in the fastest amount of time. Recruiters are also encouraged to text instead of call, Carter said. Nobody really wants to use the phone anymore. The services are also employing their own smartphone apps to communicate with prospects and feed them information about the service. The Marine Corps has the Squad Bay, through which recruiters network with prospective recruits and pool-ees or recruits waiting to ship. The Air Force has Aim High, which allows those interested in the Air Force to read through job descriptions and seek contact information of recruiters in their area. Depending too much on mail communications or even email during business hours risks missing a critical window of interest. There's always just a sense of urgency, a sense of immediate feedback with this generation, so they expect things sooner rather than later, said Lieutenant Colonel Harold Tongson, commander at the 353rd Recruiting Squadron at California's March Air Reserve Base. We've got to make sure that we respond in a timely manner. We can't wait days or weeks. Some services are also trying to spread recruiting duties across the force. The Navy last year launched an Every Sailor a Recruiter program, offering a flag letter of recommendation which can accelerate promotion to any service member who successfully refers someone to service. Initiatives like these acknowledge Gen Z's lack of familiarity with the military and the power of offering young people a window into a service member's world so they can envision themselves in a similar role. The Every Sailor is an ambassador for the Navy, and their stories and experiences hold weight and influence within their social circles, Navy officials said in a news release about the program. As of October, according to USN1 News, the program has yielded 150 new recruits. New generation, same challenge. The battle for the hearts of Gen Z is far from won. Last year, in which the Air Force, Navy, and Army all fell short of active duty accession goals, confirmed to the nation that recruiting is at a crisis point. Marine Corps alone has continued to meet recruiting goals, exceeding its active duty enlistment quota by just 21 people in 2023. And while the service has evolved, like the others, in some ways to reach today's youth, such as launching the Squad Bay app and recently starting a regional realignment of recruiting stations, officials say the service has found continued success in standing by an uncompromising message of challenge and face-to-face engagement. Ultimately, the individual, they join us, we don't join them, said Colonel Michael Hayes, Assistant Chief of Staff for Marine Corps Recruiting. And so we need to be realistic and clear-eyed on what they can expect when they challenge themselves to earn the title. Like the other services, Hayes said, the Marine Corps is still working to reestablish a presence in high schools following the disruption of COVID-19. Being there and establishing personal rapport with students is a critical focus point for the service recruiting enterprise. Only through personal relationships, Hayes said, can the Marines cut through misconceptions about service and make space for the message of challenge to take hold. Quoting Major General William Bowers, the commanding general of Marine Corps Recruiting Command, Hayes said Marine Corps recruiters view the small proportion of young people who say they're interested in service as a big field of opportunity. There's 91% out there that just need to be inspired to serve by our presence and the example that we set, he said. That's Recruiting Gen Z from the Military Officer Magazine. Well, let's turn to news.va.gov for this item, Learn to Race and Make a Difference in the Life of Veterans, Racing with Purpose. This is from the 16th of April by Jacob Irvine of Battle Scarred Motorsports. The editor's note here, sharing of any non-VA information does not constitute an endorsement of products and services on the part of the VA, and veterans should verify the information with the organization offering. Battle Scarred Motorsports, or BSM, harnesses the power of motorsports and road course endurance racing to provide adrenaline therapy and create positive change in the lives of veterans and first responders. If you're looking to make a difference while experiencing the thrill of real racing, volunteering with BSM is your ticket to getting involved. Racing with Purpose. At BSM, we offer opportunities to learn various aspects of racing, including pit crew operations, safety procedures, car building, repairs, and even driving real race cars during live competitive endurance races. Our mission goes beyond just racing. We use the challenging and fast-paced environment of auto racing to rebuild teams and reestablish the fellowship and support that veterans shared while serving in uniform. Transitioning from military to civilian life. Transitioning from military to civilian life is rarely seamless, regardless of your years of service or military occupational specialty. The unique experiences and hardships encountered during service shape one's approach to life. The camaraderie forged in the crucible of military service often becomes a stark contrast to the isolation and monotony of civilian life, leading to loneliness, boredom, and depression. Adrenaline therapy. BSM, founded by passionate Marines who are also gearheads, offers what we call adrenaline therapy through road course endurance racing. Each race event attended provides participants with an opportunity to break free from the routine of civilian life and experience excitement and action on the racetrack. The adrenaline rush experienced during intense racing situations mirrors the thrill of past military action, fostering camaraderie and new bonds among participants. Building bonds and finding victory. After the race, participants gather to share stories, enjoy good food, and bask in the camaraderie among fellow veterans and first responders. Through these experiences, BSM helps combat loneliness, depression, and ultimately veteran suicide. With nearly nationwide operations and support from racing leagues and sponsors, BSM attends roughly 20 events a year, providing numerous opportunities for veterans and first responders to engage in adrenaline therapy. Get involved! If you're interested in learning more about battle-scarred motorsports or joining our cause, visit us at battlescarred.org. That's all one word, battlescarred, or find us on Facebook. Together, let's race for a cause and make a difference in the lives of our veterans and first responders. You can get started by going to battlescarred.org/I-want-2-race. By volunteering with Battle Scarred Motorsports, you're not just racing for victory on the track, you're racing for victory in the lives of those who've served our country. Join us today and experience the thrill of racing with purpose. That's learn to race and make a difference in the lives of veterans. Our next article from news.va.gov is 12 cool mobile apps for veterans. This also from the 16th of April by Christopher McAllister, Navy veteran and Veterans Experience Office Detail. Editor's note, again, sharing of non-VA information does not constitute an endorsement. In today's fast-paced world, mobile apps are no longer just a convenience, but a necessity. With the power of smartphones, accessing vital resources and benefits has never been easier. These apps serve as a vital bridge between veterans and the support they deserve. By connecting with veterans with each other and providing access to resources, benefits, entertainment, healthcare, and much more, these apps offer invaluable assistance. And you can check out these 12 popular apps for veterans. The American Legion mobile app. The American Legion is the nation's largest organization of U.S. military veterans. This app offers a succinct description of the Legion's forms of advocacy, opportunities to join, and find nearby posts. The VA App Store. All VA resources. The VA App Store puts healthcare into your hands. You can explore tools created to help veterans manage their physical and mental wellness. Rally Point, the social network by, for, and about service members and veterans. Find peer counseling, job placement, and mentorship. The largest social network from the military helping you lead your best life. Team RWB app. Team Red, White, and Blue is a wellness community of more than 200,000 veterans, active duty service members, reservists, guard members, and civilian supporters. Team RWB is a social platform allowing members to connect with one another while offering the opportunity for volunteer leaders and members to create and engage in thousands of physical and social events and virtual workouts. Military Times. News about the U.S. military, Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. Your military, Army Times, Navy Times, Air Force Times, Marine Corps Times, Pentagon, and Congress and Defense. Sandbox, and that's S-A-N-D-B-O-X-X. Developed by veterans, Sandbox is a mobile and web app that provides a quick and convenient way for friends and family to send letters to their recruit in training. Spouses, parents, other family members, and friends can easily and meaningfully communicate with their loved one at boot camp or overseas in near real time. Military OneSource. Military OneSource from the Department of Defense is your 24/7 gateway to trusted information, resources, and confidential help. When MIL life happens, it's your first line of support, giving service members and military families tools to stay well and thrive. DAV Events App. The DAV Events is the main resource for events hosted by disabled American veterans. From event schedules and floor plans to sponsor info and social media, you'll want to make sure you download DAV Events from the App Store before you attend your next event with disabled American veterans. VetTix, and that's V-E-T-T-I-X. Veterans Tickets Foundation's Tickets for Troops program is dedicated to give back to those who gave us so much. VetTix teams up with major sports teams, leagues, promoters, organizations, venues, and everyday event ticket holders to provide free tickets to currently serving service members and veterans of all branches of the military. Together We Served. This website is for all who served in the U.S. military. Here you can reconnect with your former brothers and sisters in arms, share in the camaraderie of other veterans, and preserve a record of your military service that will live on for future generations. Veterans of Foreign Wars. The Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, is an organization of U.S. war veterans who fought in wars, campaigns, and expeditions on foreign land, waters, or airspace as military service members. My Vet Benefits, a mobile app and website that matches users' profiles with the benefits they're most likely eligible for in a matter of seconds. And remember, all of these items, if you download them, you can get them from the Apple App Store or Google Play. In most cases, some are only available for Apple and others only for Android on the Google Play store. But that would be where you would look for all of these items. 12 cool mobile apps for veterans. Next, we have a couple of announcements from the Phoenix VA Veterans News Now newsletter. The National Drug Takeback Event, the Phoenix VA will be holding their Drug Takeback Event at multiple locations on Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Carl T. Hayden Medical Center at 650 East Indian School Road, Phoenix, Arizona. On Friday, April 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Drug Takeback Event will be at the 32nd Street VA Clinic, the Staff Sergeant Alexander W. Conrad VA Clinic, and the Northwest VA Clinic. You can call 602-222-6420 for further information. Remember, no sharps or liquid nutritional items are accepted at this event. Then there's also a free show, Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band. This is a military support concert, a free show on April 28th, 2024, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Hangar 999, which is at 14712 West Super Sabre at Luke Air Force Base. Then there's Welcome PX Week 2024. This is for VA PX, Veterans Patient Experience Week. You can join the Veterans Resource Fair Tuesday, April the 30th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center in the ACC hallway. And again, that's 650 East Indian School Road in Phoenix. And you can get directions, of course, on Google Maps. It says, this week allows us to honor the experience of veterans who choose Phoenix VA as their care provider, along with honoring those who work diligently to deliver high-quality care, said Dr. Courtney Baker, Chief of Organizational Health. I look at this week as an opportunity to embrace and exemplify all the ways we own the moment and to challenge ourselves as VA staff to do more. This week's PX Week theme is Own Your Moment, encouraging all of us to take the Own Your Moment principles personally through building trust, showing empathy, and taking responsibility for our words and actions. Now, we have a save the date, the Phoenix VA Healthcare System's first Veggies for Veterans event for the year is going to be held on May 14th from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. This is the annual free fresh fruits and vegetables giveaway happening at the Carl T. Hayden VAMC for all veterans and their families. And in other news, Medicine Specialty Outpatient Clinics is moving soon. Moving soon to the 32nd Street Phoenix VA Clinic. The following clinics will be moving from the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center to the 32nd Street Phoenix VA Clinic. April 29th, 2024, the Pulmonary Medicine Clinic and Neurology Clinic will be moving. And May the 13th, the Sleep Medicine Clinic, Outpatient Respiratory Clinic for Pulmonary Function Testing, Home Oxygen, and CPAP Primary Care. And then finally, we have Palliative Care is moving. The Palliative Care Outpatient Clinic is relocating from the Gold Clinic, located on the first floor of the ACC, to the Internal Medicine Specialty Clinics, located on the second floor of the ACC. And that was back on March the 25th, so that move, I guess, has already been taking place. All palliative care patients, please check in at the Internal Medicine Subspecialty Clinics. And finally, Phoenix VA Healthcare System official social media. They remind you that if you don't already, you can follow them on the official social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Those are the announcements from the Phoenix VA Veterans News Now newsletter. Well, let's return to news.va.gov for this item. What you need to know about the Change Healthcare cyber breach. VA took swift action to disconnect from all affected systems and protect veterans. This is from the 24th of April by Hans Peterson, the VHA news editor and Air Force veteran. You may have heard in the news about the recent Change Healthcare, CHC, cybersecurity incident, which impacted many healthcare institutions across America. We at VA want to provide an update on what this incident could mean for you. CHC is one of VA's vendors, and as soon as we became aware of the breach, we took swift action to disconnect from all known systems with CHC. We've confirmed that there's no malicious activity or irregularities in our system. However, CHC announced this week that a substantial portion of the people in America could have had some protected health information leaked as a result of this incident. While there's no confirmation that veteran data was leaked as a result of this incident, we want to provide you with all the information that you could need to protect yourself. And here's what you need to know. CHC is offering credit monitoring for all impacted individuals. CHC will provide 2 years of free credit monitoring and identity theft protections for those impacted. And you can call 866-262-5342, or you can visit the dedicated UHGCHC website, and that's at Change Cyber Support. That's all one word, changecybersupport.com, to learn more. VA is general fraud protection information available to you. There are always steps that you can take to protect yourself against fraud and identity theft, and VA has resources available to you. General information on how to protect yourself from fraud is available at Protecting Veterans from Fraud, Veterans Affairs, that's at va.gov, and includes a fraud protection toolkit, frequently asked questions, information about how to be vigilant about scams, and much more. The Federal Trade Commission also offers resources to help protect your identity. For additional information about other precautions available to you, visit the Federal Trade Commission website at www.consumer.ftc.gov, and VA healthcare operations are not impacted. While we work through this issue, we want you to know the VA remains fully open for business, and there's no known adverse impact on VA patient care or outcomes to date. Please do not hesitate to come to us for all of your healthcare needs as usual. At this time, we cannot confirm that any veteran data has been compromised, so we cannot answer specific questions as to whether your data is involved. But if it is determined that veteran data was involved in the data breach, we will ensure that you are notified and full support is provided. Protecting your personal health information is, and always will be, one of our top priorities. We will continue to monitor this incident closely and provide updates whenever possible. Link disclaimer. And of course, this page does contain links to websites outside the control of the VA, and they're not responsible for their privacy practices, so you just need to be aware of that. If you go to news.va.gov and look for this article, What You Need to Know About the Change Healthcare Cyber Breach, in that article, there are a number of links that you may be interested in. You can go to news.va.gov and search for hashtag vet resources or health or top stories. And that's all the time we have for this week's edition of Weekly Reveille here on Sunsounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Thank you so much for joining me for Weekly Reveille. And remember, you can listen to this and other Sunsounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sunsounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org.